We received a wonderful thank you note from Samaritan Purse. As you know, the church sent them, well, several times now we've sent them money. The last time we sent them $1,000. And it says, I was unable to reach you by telephone. That's probably because it was a different area code, and I thought it was spam. But I want to thank you on behalf, and this is to Journey, I want to thank you on behalf of Franklin Graham for your generous support of Samaritan's Purse. We are deeply grateful that you stand with us as we care for the suffering, meeting physical needs, and offering spiritual hope through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through your gifts and prayers, you are a part of this eternal work. May God bless you. Thank you for partnering with us in ministry. And that means a lot, because when you give here, not only are you supporting this church, but you're supporting Samaritan's Purse, you're supporting Boxes of Hope, and that's just a wonderful thing to know that we go far beyond these four walls here. Well, I've been trying to not do any teaching, because I don't want to keep you in here too long, and I know you don't have the boards to take notes. What do you call those things? My mind went blank. Clipboards. We don't want to give those out. But I do try to give you a scripture every week. And it may sound more like a devotional. I'll try to do a little preaching tonight. But Matthew 11, verse 25 through 26. And at this time, Jesus prayed this prayer. O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And then one of the greatest promises, I want you to zero in on this for a few moments tonight. In all of Scripture, the words of Jesus, and I couldn't think of a better time to have this verse than during this lockdown and so forth. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Watch this. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. I'll tell you, people are really stressed out about COVID, aren't they? Everywhere that you go, and the few people that you talk to on the phone, they're fearful. And I want to remind you that the news people get paid to scare you, to make you feel fearful. So be sure you're feeding your faith and not feeding your doubts. We said that at the beginning of the lockdown, and we need to continue to say that. You know, people are turning to a lot of different things to try to make it through the lockdown. You know, it's not surprising. You would figure a lot of people are going to YouTube. What surprised me, though, was that what they were going there to watch. You know, they went there to watch videos of people cleaning their houses. You know, you think about this, a mother with children at home trying to clean her house is like brushing your teeth while eating Oreos. And there's a lot of truth to that. Another person said, behind every good marriage, there is a great house cleaning service. So here are these people trying to relieve stress. They're anxious. They're heavy laden, because almost everyone feels overwhelmed at this time. I got so frustrated this week because I feel like my hands are tied behind my back as a pastor. But then this verse came to me Wednesday, and I began to look over it. And it just blessed my heart, and I want to share it with you tonight. A mental health foundation did a study, and what they found in their poll was the effects of stress and anxiety. Respondents to the poll said overwhelming feelings of stress and anxiety led them to drink more, overeat, amen or oh me, and also to smoke more. People reported that their stress and their anxiety made them feel more depressed, more anxious, more alone, and even in some cases suicidal. We've seen an uptick in the last 3 months in the numbers of ODs, of people on drugs, and the number of suicides. And I want to tell you something tonight. Unrelieved stress is a serious condition because we need healthy techniques to help us deal with these heavy burdens, this stress that we are feeling. And they may seem a little ridiculous at times, but I think it's important that we do that, that we have ways to do that. And this fact that these people have been going to YouTube and the number one thing they've been watching are home cleaning videos. And they said, many of the fans said this, the cleaning videos say that while they watch someone else organize and clean their house, it makes them feel less anxious. It makes them feel more in control of their surroundings. Isn't that weird? So another fan said, I think there's a lot of aspects to our daily life that seems chaotic. So watching something in a state of order is relaxing. You know, that sounds weird to me. It really does. It's harmless, but to me it's a strange way to deal with stress. Because we are not in control right now. And that's one of the things the Lord really impressed upon me this week. Malcolm, you are not in control. God is in control. And what you need to do right now is to practice this verse. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust in God. Bring that to Jesus and let Him take care of you. And I think everybody here tonight needs to hear that message. Lean not upon your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. He will. And don't keep thinking about tomorrow we'll be happy. Tomorrow things will be better. They may or they may not. But you've got to remember that happiness is something that happens in the present. I think most of you would agree with that. But we don't live like that, do we? We live these lives that are full of stress, they're full of worry, they're full of anxiety, and that seems to be the norm. Even crazy things I've heard about, I'm not even going to mention some of the crazy things I've read about that people are doing to deal with the lockdown that we've had. It's amazing what people are doing. You know, have you ever heard this expression, and fill in the blank for me, I'll rest when I'm dead. That's right. You've heard that. You may even have said that. I'll rest when I'm dead. But that might be too late. Maybe we need to learn to hope in Jesus and rest in Jesus right now on July the 5th, 2020. Rest in Him. And find our strength and our hope from Him. You're sure not going to find it on television. And particularly on the news programs. Our Bible passage that I read to you a moment ago, Jesus challenges the people around Him with these words, come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. Why? For I am gentle and humble in heart. Now think about that. That's a good description of Jesus. He's gentle and He's humble in heart. And He says, if you will learn from Me, if you will take My yoke, He says, you will find rest for your souls because My yoke is easy and My burden is light. In other words, Jesus is saying this stress, this anxiety, this weariness, heavy burdens that we're feeling right now because of COVID or whatever is going on in your life. It could be something else not even related to COVID. It is an unnatural way of living for a believer. That is not the way God wants you to live. Because weariness, burdens, stress, they blind us to the true purpose of our lives, and they give us a sense of powerlessness. You know, sometimes it's good to feel powerless. Sometimes it's good to realize I can't, but He can. Sometimes it's good to realize that God is in control, not us. And our only part that we have to do is to trust Him. And I know that's easier said than done, but that is exactly what Jesus is saying here. Find rest for your souls. What a hopeful message that you can find rest in the middle of all of this. You can have rest deep down in your soul. You know, I read this week about a group, and they started this business back in 2005. And one of the things they do, listen to the name of the store. It's called Mini-Nap, N-A-P, Mini-Napolis. And they started it in the Mall of America there in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And what they do is for 70 cents a minute, tired shoppers can rent a soundproof room for napping. Think about that. Or you can get a room with an Asian theme or a tropical isle theme or a deep space theme. But if you don't feel like napping, you can get in their massage chair and watch a beautiful waterfall until you feel relaxed and feel full of positive thinking. But I want to tell you something. We need more than a nap. That's the way the world interprets it. What we need is we need rest for our souls. And rest for our souls doesn't mean a nap. It doesn't mean a vacation. It doesn't mean thinking positive thoughts, although it's important to do all of that at some times. All of that, though, is just a temporary respite from all of the stress you're feeling. It's only temporary. And what Jesus is doing when He talks about rest for your soul is He is talking about reorienting your values, your perspectives, so that your life matches up to the will and the values and the perceptions of God, because He is the one who created us and He is the source for our soul. You won't find it in any man or woman, only in Jesus. Listen to it again. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now think about those words for just a few moments before I close. Number one here, Jesus is saying, you have a soul. You have an ever-living, never-dying soul. And to be even more accurate, you are a soul. Because that soul within you was made in the image of God. You are not just a random collection of DNA and cells. You are a soul, a living, breathing soul. You are not the sum of what you're going through at this present moment, your circumstances. You are a work of art. You're a beautiful person who is made in the image of Almighty God, the creator of our souls. And we have an eternal, all-powerful God who's put His imprint upon your soul and upon my soul. And I think our souls are an abundant mark. They're an abundant proof of how much God really does love us. It says to us that you are incredibly valuable to God. He values you. He values you. Which leads me to the question. Are you experiencing life the way God meant you to? Or do you feel weary? Do you feel burdened? Do you feel stressful because you're going through this time and age in a situation where you're disconnected from your very soul? and from the very God who put that soul within you. Are your priorities right? Are they lined up? Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his soul? And then he went on to say, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I've found some pretty pitiful things people will give up in exchange for their souls. I remember one time years ago out witnessing on the street, and there was this drunk guy, and I mean, he was so out of it. And that's before I had enough sense to know that, you know, you can't really witness to drunk people because they're going to argue with you. And I said, don't you want to give your soul to Jesus and find love and joy and happiness? I'll never forget what he said. Now, this is a guy that's homeless. This is a guy that is either an alcoholic or drug addict. And this is what he said to me. He said, but I'd have to give up so much. Oh, my goodness. How people get things out of perspective. They forget that their soul is the most valuable possession that they have. And God not only wants to save your soul, He wants to walk with you in interconnection day by day by day and relieve your burden and take off that stress and take off that anxiety. He said, cast all your anxiety upon me, for I care about you. And He does. He really does. Mike Jaffray was a successful young businessman. He was working for a Fortune 500 company. And he was in his mid-30s, and he began to realize that he didn't feel fulfilled in his work. He was not connected to his family. He was neglecting his family. He felt disconnected from any greater purpose in his life. And every morning, Mike's wife would drive him to the train station in Connecticut. And Donna, you remember we all the people when we took that train from Connecticut into New York, what, 10 years ago or so now, maybe 11. All the commuters who drive 2 hours on that train to work on Wall Street, to work in downtown Manhattan, and then they commute 2 hours back. Well, that was the life of Mike Jaffray. He felt like he was just doing something that he really wasn't making an accomplishment in his life. And usually when his wife took him to the train in the morning early, their one-year-old daughter slept in the back seat. And he worried about the fact that he rarely saw his daughter when she was awake, and that his wife was, for all intents and purposes, a single mom. And his success at work, although he was highly successful, he didn't feel like he was making a meaningful difference in the world. His life was so hectic and stressful that he barely had time to think. But then he looked at all of his colleagues and he looked at all of his friends, and they were doing the same thing. They were neglecting their families. They were commuting 2 hours this way and that way. And who was he thought to himself, to think that he could really make any kind of difference? But then one day, it happened. Mike began to reevaluate his priorities. He began to seek the Lord. And one morning shortly thereafter, he decided that he was going to stay home, have a late breakfast with his family, not take the early train, take the late train, and eat breakfast with his wife and daughter. And to him, that was a huge sacrifice, because all of his colleagues came in early and they left late. Couldn't afford to stand out. But he was just so sick and tired of being controlled by his job and missing out on his family that morning, Mike, his wife and daughter had a great time eating breakfast together and chatting about their week. And then Mike took the late train to New York. And because of that one decision, to connect with his family. Mike Jaffray was not in his office, which was in the North Tower of the World Trade Center, on September the 11th, 2001, when the first airplane slammed into the building. His life was spared by a simple decision to put God first, to put his family first, and not let the stress and burdens of this world carry him down. Mike Jaffray's written a book about his friends and colleagues who lost their lives in that September the 11th attack. It's titled, Wake Up, Your Life is Calling. Wake up, your life is calling. And he says his mission now is to be a human wake-up call to convince people to live meaningful lives that do not revolve around what society and the world defines as successful. I want to tell you something tonight. Jesus Christ is the ultimate wake-up call to your soul and to my soul. And he says to you and me, get reoriented. Put me first. I'm to be number one in your life. Listen again to what he said. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and yet lose his soul? Jesus lived every moment of his life knowing that there were some things worth living for and there were some things worth dying for, and that all this other stuff we get concerned about is just noise. Noise. But you have a choice. You can live the way the Savior wants you to live, or you can carry all that anxiety and that stress and that worry or grief or whatever it is on your own back and miss out on having a real connection to God and miss out on the things that are so important. You know, and I've been guilty of this. So many complaints about what we're going through right now. Matter of fact, I did so a while ago. I complained. I feel like as a pastor, my hands are tied behind my back. You know? But people are complaining. They're always complaining. Oh, this is so bad. But you know, you've got to put things in perspective, folks. You got to realize that while this is a difficult time, God has given us hope. And we are not people of defeat. We are people of victory. We are not people who are free from troubles. We are people who are victorious in our troubles. Right now, that's what God's calling us to do. And if you think it's bad here, I read this week about a woman named Rose. I got to bring my glass of water this week, my bottle of water. But this lady named Rose had unbelievable stress in her life. Stress that if you and I think, and I want you to think about what you've been complaining about lately. Oh, I'm so sick of watching Netflix. So sick of this or that. Think about this for a moment. Put all of that in perspective as I tell you about her life. Rose is a woman in Rwanda. And I think most of you, thank you, Paul. Appreciate it so much. You didn't drink out of it, did you? I'm kidding. I'm joking. That helped me so much. Thank you, Paul. This woman was in Rwanda in the middle of the genocide in 1994. Some of you may remember it. Over 800,000 Rwandans killed in 100 days. It was genocide. And she watched some of her own family members who were killed and tortured. And someone asked her, how did you deal with all of this? How did you deal with the shock? How did you deal with the grief of watching your own family members being killed and watching such carnage of over 800,000 people killed in 100 days? How did you endure losing your own family members? You know what her answer was? She explained it this way. For this, I have Jesus. For this, I have Jesus. Think about those words for a moment. Rose adopted two children who were orphaned in the attacks. She supports her small family by translating gospel tracts into that language. And she's organized an annual widows event. And someone else asks her, what motivates you to do all this? And what inspires you? And her answer is, for this I have Jesus. How do you face the future with courage? How do you face COVID-19? For this I have Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for being with us in this difficult time. But Lord, when we put it in perspective, we realize it could be so, so, so much worse. We give you the glory, God, because we know that on the other side of this valley, there's a mountaintop. And Lord, we're going to come marching into victory because the battle is not ours, it's yours, Lord. And you are in control. And we bow to your will and we submit to your plans. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.